much of the Bible before I show you slides. There's so much in the slides, I guess it would take me, I said this morning, I wish Brother Glenn was here or Brother Morales, they could do a better job at showing you places and all the different times and things that happen. I'm just a real novice from being over there just a short time. I try to take in everything I could, and you know, it's just amazing. We went from Dan to Beersheba, and it's amazing how when you read your Bible and it says after 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, they went so-and-so, they got there, and they walked. And, man, it's a long walk. And it's a couple hundred miles from one end to the other, about 250 miles or 300 miles. And or they went by horseback or a wagon, but that's a long haul. It's a long ways. And but look in Matthew chapter 2. It says when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we never got to Bethlehem. When we came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, a bunch of Arabs stand outside there, and it's down a hill. The hill is all the roads are very narrow, very narrow. All the cars got scrapes on both sides. And we had a rental vehicle. We didn't scrape anything. But it's amazing. These buses are going up and down this hill, and they're, you know, weaving in and out by beeping the horn and all crazy stuff going on. And I come out, and the Arabs are standing outside. You can't go to Bethlehem. If we went to Bethlehem, we couldn't go without an Arab guide. And we had a budget rental car, and they have a guideline where you cannot go in certain places. If you do, you're responsible. No insurance. And you had to pay it out of your own pocket. And they said the cars would get destroyed. Now, I said this morning, Gaza, they had a big uprising in Gaza, and outside of Gaza, and about 40 people, I think, I was trying to glance through the paper, reading it, and 170, I think, wounded. And it was supposed to just be a peaceful, protest. But they said they're going to keep it up every day or every week or what have you. And here we are, the 70th year anniversary of Israel. And they're going to, the Arabs are mad at Trump because he recognized Jerusalem. I'm glad he did. I sure am glad. I'm so glad he did that. The Jews, thank God, because it gives them legitimacy in the Arab world. A Jew could not be a Jew without outside of Jerusalem. With no Jerusalem, there is none. No Jerusalem, no Jew. And then the city of David is right there behind Jerusalem. It's right behind. And then you'll see it, or you'll hear Brother Glenn talking on a video where when Judas went out and hung himself, he went down in the Gehenna and went down there on the side and hung himself and fell off and a tree broke. And so, but anyway, it says, now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And like I said, Jesus came during the taxation. But then look over, we're down to chapter 2, look at verse, where is it? I'm looking for where it says, until the days of death, verse 15 of Herod, and then it goes on down. Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, look at 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And Jesus Christ was called Nazarene, and he was in the city. He grew up in Nazareth. We went to Nazareth. Nazareth, it seemed like every major place where the Bible mentions the Arabs congregated there, they went there and got in that property so they could try to control it and try to keep it away from the Jews. And, you know, the Jews didn't have that property. They didn't have that property as a nation of Israel until 1948. In 1948, that's why it was so great that they got that land back. They got all their, you know, their promised land back. And that was a miracle. I've said this before, no nation in history has ever lost their land and ever got it back. But because God said he was going to take them out and take it away from them and then give it back, it happened. Amen. Because God said it. That's how you know that Bible's on the money. When God says something, it's going to happen. And that Bible's right on the money. When it said that God was going to take them out of the land, then he was going to turn around and give it back to them. Now go over to Matthew chapter 4 and look at verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the regions and the shadows of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Nazareth, he leaves Nazareth and comes to Capernaum. And while we are in Nazareth, take your Bible, look over in Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes into the synagogue, and we saw the synagogue where he went in and preached, and he just read the scriptures. He goes in and reads this. I mean, what's crazy, like I said, it's given me, more of a zeal for the Word of God. It's given me more of a zeal to preach the Word of God. Like I said, I believe the Bible. If I went, it just gives you, it's like living color. You get to see it. And it says in Luke chapter 4, and look at verse 29, it says, back up to verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. In Galilee, Capernaum is right around Galilee. And it's right on the shore. When Jesus walked by and said to Simon Peter and all of them, follow me, it's right on the shore. We walked the shore. And when Jesus goes across, and the Bible says a great tempest came up and he walked on water, it was in Galilee. He walked across Galilee. Man, woo, we're walking around there looking at that. And it says, power and spirit of into Galilee, there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions around about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. See that? Now his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, I would love to have been there to hear him read it. Wouldn't that have been something? Sit there and listen to him to read. Man, here was Isaiah being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. When the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And I mean, all that. And then it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And that's yet to be fulfilled. All that's yet, Isaiah chapter 9, is yet to be fulfilled. And here he is standing. Here's the key to it, though. If the Jews would have accepted him there, they rejected him three times. Then they rejected Paul's preaching three times. If they would have accepted him, man, we'd all be speaking Hebrew right now. But they rejected him. And you go over there and you think, why in the world? And they wasn't expecting no poor man coming and being, you know, born in a barn and all. They weren't expecting that. They was expecting King David. They wanted somebody to kill a giant. And the giant was Rome. And he's going to take care of it. Man. He will take care of it. But it ain't that wasn't the right time. You know, that's how you, a Christian gets out of the will of God, by jumping ahead of God or trying to get behind you. Now, Jews were jumping ahead. They were jumping ahead. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and all of his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and it says, and then he said, read in verse 17, there delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Can you imagine the Lord taking the Bible, turning it? And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See that thing? He's reading this to them, and he closed the book, and he gave it to again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Everybody's looking at him. He went and sat down. We saw the synagogue. We saw the mountain. I'm going to show you that where they try to throw him off. They thrust him out. Look what happens. And all that bared him witness and wondered at this gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me, this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Jesus did a lot of miracles. You read about Capernaum. He did a lot of miracles in Capernaum. That's where he picked up disciples. And says, he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Isaiah, and when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and great famine throughout the land, but the none of them was Isaiah sent, and then save on the Sephra, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Isaiah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of a hill wherein the city was built, and that they might cast him down headlong, and he passing through the midst of them went his way. This is starting of his ministry, and it wasn't time for him to die, and he wasn't going to die that way. And they wanted to throw him out and thrust him down the hill, and throw him down and break his neck. Look in Luke chapter 7. I'll show you the hill we was up on in a minute. Luke chapter 7. And when it says in verse 1, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they would come to Jesus, came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was not worthy of whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he has built a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say it in a word, just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. And he goes on telling, and the Lord says he had never found faith like that. No, not in Israel. And that was a slap in their face. He said, man, I haven't found no faith like that. The Lord's looking for people to have faith. Amen. And he gives you all the equipment to have more faith. He gives you everything you need to have more faith and to get stronger, but we don't. Chapter 10, verse 15. Just want you to notice Capernaum, Nazareth. Look what he says. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the mighty works that were done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable in for the Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven. So these places, Capernaum was a city where Peter was and his mother-in-law and them, they were there, and they were by the Sea of Galilee, which is not far, stone throw, and they were there cleaning their nets when Jesus walked by and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He says, well, thou art exalted to heaven, shall be thrusted down to what? Hell. Man, we walked in there, that place was about destroyed. Destroyed. And they got the ruins there. We went in the synagogue where Jesus, the same floor that he stood on, and that hadn't been changed. While we were standing there, Brother Glenn and I and Linda and Betty, we were all taking pictures, and a Jewish boy standing over there had a hat on, and a Jewish boy, he's about 20-something years old, he goes, hey, I want a picture with you. And I said, with who? And he said, the man with the hat. And I said, okay. So Glenn said, well, Alan, get in the picture. He said, no, I want him only. And I said, why do you want him? He said, he looked like Harry Truman. He wanted a picture of him. Now go to John chapter 2. Just look at it again. John chapter 2. John 2, 12. Now, I'd say this, Brother Glenn was a lot of fun going with because he knew a lot. And Brother Glenn studies and prepares and does all that. And it says, beginning, verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifest forth his glory. His disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren, his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, when it says he went up to Jerusalem, now I'm talking, you're talking about days. Days. If you can walk 30 miles a day, say 30 miles a day, it took him at least 3 days to walk to get there. Or more. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. Now he walked 3 days or more, goes in the temple, goes up to the Temple Mount and sees that, and he just goes, has a fit, and said on them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my father's house a house of a merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou that seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it back up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Will thou rear it up in 3 days? And he spake of the temple of his body. So the temple is not there now. And I said, the Lord God allowed that temple to be destroyed twice. The third temple is ready to be built. They've got it. They said they got it all. They're ready to go. And when I asked a young man that was in the Temple Institute, I asked him how long it would take. He said, not long. We got everything. We're ready. And I said, you got the Ark of the Covenant? He told me the candlesticks. You'll see the candlestick. He said that Rome had the candlesticks, the original. He said, but we'll start over. See, if you read your Bible, you read where in Exodus, all that stuff that God tells them about the temple and Ark, I mean the tabernacle, how they had to have ashes of the red heifer. The ashes of the red heifer was they had to burn the thing and use the ashes, put it in the water for cleansing, a sacrifice. And they say they have the ashes of red heifer. There have been archaeology. Everywhere you go around, you see archaeologists working. They're still working, finding places. They found Capernaum in the houses. And the houses are real close. Everything's real close in there. And we're looking at it going, wow, Jesus could have been in one of these houses right here. Because you know what over there says? It says when Jesus was in the house, and it says they tore the roof off to get in, to get the man that was with the palsy in there. They let him down in the roof. That was the place. That was it. Phew.
Yep.
I just walked around there looking, going, woo, man, this is it. This is it. And all these places are mentioned throughout the Word of God. Caesarea. We go to Caesarea. Go in your Bible. Look in Acts. And Acts chapter 20. You know, Paul was taken, he was taken in Jerusalem. He was taken because he shaved his head, he made a vow, he was told not to go to Jerusalem, warned, and he said, no, he loved, I'm telling you, this is how much Paul loved the people, the Jewish people. He loved his own people that much. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and Paul loved this people, the Jews, so much that he said, I wish myself a curse for the nation of Israel. I couldn't wish myself a curse for my family. And he said, I wish myself a curse for the nation of Israel. He loved them people that much. That shows me if you love your family. People say, I love my family. I'll do anything in the world. Well, what about living for God in front of them?
Amen. Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
What about telling them about Jesus? What about being a good witness? I mean, that's not that hard.
Amen.
And it says, look at verse chapter 23 and verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. This is after Paul was in a confrontation with them. And the Bible says God, the Roman soldiers, a captain came in and rescued Paul, thought he was some kind of murderer or something. They were beating him. They were beating him down. And Paul gets up, and they put him, they lock him up, they put him up. And Paul said, let me go back and talk to him again. That's how much he loved him. Let me go back and preach to him again. And he gets back out, and he starts preaching in Hebrew tongue. And they go crazy, And the Roman captain goes, man, get him away. They're going to kill him. And they had, I mean, when the Romans came in to rescue Paul, and it was in Jerusalem, right outside the temple, and they were out there kicking him and beating him and stoning him. I mean, and he gets back up, and he had such a love for the people. Bleeding, blood running down. He gets back up, and he says, let me do it again. Let me do it again. And then the Bible says, and they that were more than 40 that had made this conspiracy, 40 men made a vow to God. She said, what happened to them? They either died because they starved to death, or they broke their vow. They made a vow, we're going to kill that guy, and we're going to ask that the Romans bring him back out here. And when the Romans bring him back out here, they're going to have only going to have certain guards, and we're going to get the guards preoccupied. We're going to push the guards back, and we're going to kill this guy. For what? The gospel say.
That's right.
So you could have the word of God.
Yep.
You and I are holding the word of God. And the guy goes, let me go back out. I'll go do it again. I wish myself a curse. And he goes back out for the word of God's sake. And it says they made a vow they're going to kill him. Same what they did with Jesus. And when they came to the chief priests and elders, they said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse. Here they came to the hierarchy of the religion, the chief priests and all. They said, hey, we made a vow that we're going to kill this guy. We need your help. And they go, oh, God bless you, my son. God bless you. The Lord's going to bless you for this, that we will not eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he might bring him down unto you tomorrow as though we would inquire something more perfect as concerning him. And we, or ever we would come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son, thank God for Paul's sister's son. It says, when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him, and pray me to bring the young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately. So it had to be a little guy. Took him by the hand and said, come on, you got something to tell me? Come on, son. Tell me. He took him by the hand privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council as though they would inquire something of him more perfectly. And do not thou yield on them, for there lieth in wait for him more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink until they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then led the young man to depart and charged him, saying, tell no man that thou hast showed me the things to me. And he called on him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen of 70 men, 70 men, 70, spearmen, 200, at the third hour of the night, 9 o'clock at night, we're pulling out. We're taking this guy. We're going to Caesarea from Jerusalem. That's a haul. And provided them beasts that they might set Paul on and bring him safe into Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner, and so you read the letter, what he wrote. And he writes to Felix, so Paul, they take him to Caesarea. We started out in, I believe, in Caesarea. Is that right, Mama? We started out. We got to Caesarea. We pull up in the parking lot, and Glenn said, well, we're here. I'm going, where? We pull up in the parking lot. He goes, well, let's get a little closer. We go up there, and we see these tour buses. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what to expect, man. And then we all of a sudden, we walk through there, and we see this place, and they uncovered it. The Muslims covered up everything they could to try to keep people from seeing the Bible come alive. And they also have a place where you can go in and sit down, and they'll show you Caesarea. King Herod built that as a like a summer city, a playground. And they had horses and chariots where they, you remember the movie Ben-Hur, where Ben-Hur, they ride, they had that right there. We walked in that, where they've taken the horses, and they're, you know, going around. They had the gladiators there fighting. He had, right out in the Mediterranean, he went out and made a swimming pool with fresh water. They drained all the water. They had ways of doing things. Right out in the middle, you're right in the middle of the Mediterranean out there, and they had a swimming pool in the middle, and he had all the walls. He had his castle built there. And then the theater where they brought Paul was there. So the whole city, you'll see that, and just parts of the ruins. And so we're going to show you that. But it's just a history of it. And then we go to Dan. But let me see if I can do this. Brother Eddie, if you can help me out. And we'll lay this down.